Today, we celebrate what can be called Jesus' triumphal moment, marked by his entrance into the holy city of Jerusalem. It was the time of the Feast of the Passover, during which hundreds of thousands of Jewish pilgrims were in and around the city. In the midst of this annual pilgrimage, Jesus became a center of attraction upon his entering of the city. This entrance would mark the beginning of what is known as Passion Week, which began with hosannas and ended on Golgotha and the cross. Within the Christian calendar, this is the most holy and somber week. Many of us can remember when we observed this week with church services on Holy Wednesday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, and we attended them all. And some even gathered on Holy Saturday for an evening of a tenebrae service. A very holy week in the Christian calendar. Now, for the past Sundays, during Lent, we have been examining the events of Jesus' life leading up to this day, Palm Sunday, as recorded in the Gospel of John. It is important to note that in addition to being quite lengthy in his writings, John wrote with a specific purpose in mind. His objective was to give witness to Jesus as the true Son of God. Historic time frames were of little importance to him, in contrast to the remembrances of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Historic time frames for John was of little importance. The most important thing was to point out the divinity of Jesus. Some of these held a very logical sequence of events and seemed very personal in nature. Therefore, his gospel was quite different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which followed a more historic, correct time frame, bent on summarizing Jesus' total ministry. In this approach, the Synoptic Gospels lack the more intimate details of Jesus' relationships, his conversations and events, which were so characteristic of John. That is why many find more of a personal relationship in John's gospel. To show the contrast, we read the account of Palm Sunday, the triumphal event, in Matthew today. And you can take out your insert and see the differences, because I'm going to read John's account at this time. The next day, the great crowd had come to the festival, and they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Now Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed a sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Quite a different account of this event. Now, last week, we heard the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. This story was highlighted by Jesus' proclamation. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." Of course, after this, he immediately brought Lazarus from the death's tomb. This highly dramatic and compelling story was never recorded in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, but turns out to have been a very key event in understanding what was to follow the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus' detailed accounting of the days leading up to that triumphal entry began with the story of Lazarus' sickness and death. This gives the essential background to understand the events to follow during Passion Week. It all began to make sense, for immediately after Jesus and Lazarus was raised from the dead, some of the many witnesses of that event told the Pharisees what had happened. The Pharisees then called a meeting of the council of authorities, including the high priest. This is when Caiaphas, one of the high priests, gave the words of indictment for Jesus' death. He said, "You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed." In other words, the authorities had feared that Jesus was about to take advantage of his popularity among the pilgrims in order to lead a rebellion against the Romans. They saw this as being a total destruction of the Jews, of rebellion. They were trying to be realists, but their rationality was based upon a misconceived premise. Therefore, they began to plan on how they would eliminate this troublemaker and this threat to them. This Jesus who so-called raised Lazarus from the dead. And the people who are now surrounding him because of that. Now John's account logically continues by relating that Jesus and his disciples, after raising of Lazarus, spent a period of seclusion at a place called Ephraim. This was out of the public's eye and essentially hiding from the authorities. The period of time, perhaps several days, was until the feast of the Passover. It was then that Jesus and his disciples proceeded towards Jerusalem, stopping along the way at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their friends. This turned out to be an important event leading up to his Jerusalem entry. Not recorded by the other Gospels. It was with this visit that John tells the highly emotional and tender story of Mary washing and anointing Jesus' feet and drying them with her hair. She was ridiculed for using an expensive ointment or perfume. And with this, Jesus became very specific as to what was to happen to him. Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. It is interesting to note that this was not mentioned in the other Gospels. When word spread that Jesus had been seen at the home of his friends in Bethany, a great crowd assembled there to get a glimpse of this miracle worker and get a glimpse of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. They wanted to see them for themselves. John then relates that Lazarus also had become the target of the chief priest's indictment. He too was under indictment. It is interesting to note that we have no indication as to whether Lazarus was ever executed by the Jewish authorities, as John records that it was their intent to do so. Now, unlike the historic synoptic gospels, John's account leading up to the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem flows in a very realistic pattern as to what happened. A very personal account. One event leads to another and another and another. Therefore, it makes sense that there was a great crowd lining the path into Jerusalem. When John writes, the next day, the great crowd had come to the festival, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. For John, the triumphal entry was not some contrived stage or isolated event, which seems to have been the case in the other Gospels. There was a very logical reason for the Jews to want to see this Jesus, for they had heard about him raising a dead man to life after 4 days' entombment. That is why the word spread and great numbers of people came to see this amazing prophet who might very well have been the long-awaited Messiah. That is why their enthusiasm, that is why the hosannas. It is very interesting to note that John does not give any indication that Jesus' triumphal entry was pre-planned in any way. Instead, it was spontaneous. A spontaneous event, even to the point of Jesus finding a young donkey to ride. Just a side note. The donkey is very significant since it was not the lowly creature we think of today. But it was an animal of royalty. Royalty rode donkeys, symbolizing their intentions of a peaceful kingdom versus the horse, which was a sign of warfare. So Jesus deliberately chose to ride a donkey, symbolizing his royalty of a kingdom of peace, the kingdom of God, and not the earthly kingdom of Israel. It all fits together for John. The triumphal entry was a result of Lazarus being raised from the dead, which depended upon Jesus' delay in coming to the aid of his friend in Bethany. Lazarus' death was not only necessary to the understanding of the Palm Sunday event, but also to understand the events of Passion Week itself. And the understanding of Jesus as a new kind of Messiah. So often, you know, we like to isolate events, isolate messages so as to give them limited or misconstrued meaning and understanding. This leads to a total misrepresentation. It's sort of a candy store concept of picking and choosing what we want to believe. I'll take this one, but not this or that. I'll be a spectator of the parade and shout, wave flags and applaud, but don't ask me to enter the parade. To enter is too demanding. Christianity, it is just not those isolated events which are pleasing to us, but it is being involved in the whole story, the whole life of Christ. That is the beauty of the Gospel of John. It presents a total picture of this Jesus as seen and related in human terms from the eyes of an eyewitness. It is through John that we are presented with the wholeness of Jesus' life and allows us to understand who he really was. It allows us to be confronted with Jesus as the Messiah in our lives. This is the Messiah who promises us that I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, who even though they die, will live. That's the story. That's the message. When we believe this, then we can wave our palms and join in the chorus of hosannas. Hosannas to the Messiah of God's kingdom. The Messiah in your life. The Messiah in my life. That is the message. That is the message of Jesus. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. What a message for all of us.